The weevil is an import from Brazil. It was originally introduced in 1981 in Kakadu, and with good effect. And the low-lying levels of the weevil over most of Kakadu now.
What conditions do the weevil and the Salvinia need to get eaten?
Well, if you think of the weevil as little cattle, they do like the best food available, and water with good nitrogen level in it will produce nice new buds of Salvinia, and these are the parts that the weevil like best. Because it established so well, and there was pretty much no need to reintroduce it, although I know the Kakadu rangers on an as-needs basis will collect weevils from places they know they are successful and bring them back to areas where they may have gone, the population may have disappeared.
So the weevil lives as long as the Salvinia lives?
Yes, because the weevil can only survive on Salvinia, if the Salvinia is eaten or flushed out and there's no food for the weevils, the population will die.
So you've just started to reintroduce the weevil into Four Mile Hole in Kakadu National Park. At the moment, Salvinia is probably, what, 95% coverage of that waterhole?
Yes, every now and then the weevils need a little bit of assistance to kickstart their population, and we've started releasing the weevil there because the Kakadu guys said that they were finding it hard to find weevils in the park, so we've found them elsewhere in the territory and brought them back in.
So these little cattle, how do they control the Salvinia?
The adults eat the new leaves and they lay eggs on other leaves, and the resulting larvae burrow into the rhizomes and the roots of the plants, and eventually if they eat it enough, the plant may sink.
You released the weevil last week into Kakadu National Park. What will the plan be? Are there more releases on the agenda?
Yes, we've only just started our colony here at Berrima, so we're hoping to produce many, many more weevils, and we'll be offloading them as soon as we can. And we will have to offload them because they'll eat us out of house and home here as well, so we'll keep extracting weevils from here and putting it into Kakadu.
The weevil has had great success in other rivers, the Daly and the Finniss, for example.
Yes, we've been working with Aboriginal ranger groups out there and other local landholders, and they've managed to open up some of their own waterholes again, and after several years.
Australia has a couple of disastrous examples of biological control. Point to take, obviously, is the cane toad. Has the weevil and the introduction of the weevil to places like Kakadu National Park had any detrimental effects?
No. The lessons learned from the cane toad make very strict regulations around importing anything into Australia. Part of the program to introduce this weevil was a long program to host test the species and make sure it survived on nothing but this one particular Salvinia species.
Now tell us about some other biocontrol that you guys work here at. So I can see some mimosa over there. I think there's some Parkinsonia behind us.
Yes, our main drive at the moment is producing the new moth UU2 for Parkinsonia, and we're releasing that in the VRD and the Barclay.
What's new about that one?
This is a different species to the last 3 years, which was UU, and so UU2 is the second species.
Now, UU was successful.
In places, it's quite successful, and it's in good numbers on the VRD. We're hoping that UU2 is even more successful because UU2 came from a warmer climate than UU. We have good plans for this next one.
So what kind of a problem is Parkinsonia?
Parkinsonia is a problem on mainly pastoral areas, and it forms thickets, and Parkinsonia can get up to 6 meters high, and it has thorns, and it prevents access to water bodies, it prevents stock from moving, and it just, yeah.
It's a nasty beast, isn't it?
It
So
is.
this UU2, the new moth, a different variety, how long before you introduce it, and when might you see some specific changes within the population of Parkinsonia?
So we've just started introducing it this year, and it will be many years until it starts to have a population which will have an effect on the plant. And there's very subtle effects on the plant for biocontrol. So you'll see things like reduced seed output, reduction in spread of the plant and an overall reduction in vigour of the plant as well. So the canopy might open up a bit more, which means grass and things understory plants can actually compete with seedlings and the plants that are there.
How far does the moth travel? And the reason I'm asking that is you introduce, say, the UU2 moth into some Parkinsonia in one paddock. Will it naturally find the Parkinsonia in the next paddock?
Yes, the moths are quite active and very quick to spread. So we hope they can find each other for a start. Mm. And to give you an idea, a similar moth for mimosa, we were introducing it in different catchments in the top end. And when we got to the daily, we realised that they'd already spread there from the finest before we got there. So
clever little critters. Yeah. So really, pastoralists take note that if they see any moths and insects on their place, they're probably really good ones.
Quite possibly. We found a number of natives that eat several different species and they've come off acacias and other closely related plants to Parkinsonia.
So it might take a while. Is there any chance that Parkinsonia could be eliminated?
Well, biocontrol will never eradicate a plant, but it will reduce the vigour and reduce the seeding so that other means of control become a little bit more cost-effective to get rid of it.